Peace be with you. Please be seated. Peace be with you. This is how Jesus greeted the disciples within the fellowship of their community, their loving community. It's how we are to greet one another as we go out and build and live in our community. The book of Acts is all about how we are to greet one another as we go out and build and live in a loving community. It's about the spirit within us and within that community. In our gospel, Jesus is laying the groundwork for what a loving community is, preparing the disciples and us for living in a loving community, which is what we learn about in the book of Acts of the Disciples, also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. In our gospel, we hear, "Peace be with you," a few times this morning. John Shea points out that Jesus offered them the first peace to expel their fears. Jesus shows them his hands and his side. Note also, he didn't say there's just a hole in his side, put your fingers there. He put his hand in there. That's how deep that was. You see, it wasn't just Thomas that had doubts that needed to come, but all the disciples needed to see, to believe. They all needed to be able to turn from their doubts and their fear into belief. Then we hear him extend peace a second time. The second time he offered them peace is to ground them in the Holy Spirit and the perfect love of being sent out to do God's work. We are also sent out in fellowship with one another to go and share the good news. The good news, that is, Jesus dying for our sins so we can be forgiven and then in turn forgive others. To live in peace with one another. Notice in the gospel how Jesus next imparts the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. You know, just as in the beginning, back in Genesis, when God breathed into the clay of the earth to be able to create the human person, becoming a living soul. So now the risen Lord also breathes into the disciples, and they become a new creation. In receiving Jesus, we become a new creation. Let's all say that. In receiving Jesus, we all become a new creation. He is the spiritual presence working within the community of believers. Just as he works within the community, we are building here. In our gospel, Jesus is comforting them, knowing that although his physical presence, you know, can be taken away because he will only be with them a short time longer, then he'll ascend. But his spiritual presence cannot be taken away. The spiritual presence is far more superior and is what we need to believe and to be live together as one. Then we hear Jesus set forth the sacrament of reconciliation. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. We need to ask God for forgiveness and to forgive one another to be one united in Christ. Peace is given first to banish the fears. Notice in sermon, in the gospel, peace is first given to banish fears. Then the peace of the Holy Spirit is breathed on them in new life as they are being sent out to do God's work, to reconcile the lost back to God through forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but at first when I read this saying, it seemed a bit odd that Jesus first appearing to disciples would go and tie forgiveness back to being in peace, you know, in the new life of Christ. You know, but when you realize it, when you think about it, we find peace in asking for forgiveness and then extending that forgiveness to others. Can we say that? We find peace in asking for forgiveness and then extending that forgiveness to others. That's the foundation. That's the foundation of our loving church community. Now, in meditating on this, I was reminded of a call that I got from one of the veterans I'm blessed to be able to walk beside. He's got PTSD, and he was struggling. He was struggling with forgiveness, you know, both forgiving himself and being able to forgive others. And as we spoke, it became clear that at least part of his struggle was that he was trying to forgive himself before taking his struggle to God. That is, you know, before acknowledging his sin and then laying it at God's feet and asking for forgiveness. You see, without knowing it, he had put tremendous pressure on himself, you know, to forgive himself by himself, when he could have first just laid those sins at the feet of Jesus in repentance. And then knowing that God has forgiven him, he'd be comforted and then be free to be able to forgive himself. We're not in this alone. It's not up to us to forgive ourselves. God forgives us. That allows us to be able to forgive ourselves. See, on repentance, you know, Peter, in our readings this morning, refreshed by faith, Jesus, through repentance in our readings this morning, he says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and receiving forgiveness from God first." And by the way, God always forgives. Always. Any person that comes to him with a humble and contrite heart. And receiving forgiveness from God first, it refreshes and frees the soul. And in freeing the soul, we gain peace enough to be able to forgive ourselves, and then in turn to be able to forgive others. We find peace in asking for forgiveness and then extending that forgiveness to others. That's the foundation of our loving community. And we are a community. We aren't in this alone. God is walking with us as we are walking together. The book of Acts that we're now studying all about is the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit in us and within our community. As part of that community, and in knowing we are all sons and daughters of God, and that God forgives us, all who ask for it, we are also to forgive others. That's what we do in a loving community. In the gospel, Jesus is continuing to reveal himself as the head of that loving community that we call the church. The church is the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit working in us, between us, uniting us as one with Christ as his body. Jesus, in establishing his community of believers, gave us his Spirit to be with us and to unite us as one. Now, being part of a community means we pool together as a family, helping one another in good times and bad, forgiving and helping each other forgive. That is the beauty of being part of a family, living in the love of God and the love of one another. We have one another to help us along. We have each other's gifts to be able to draw upon. But it doesn't stop there. We also have, you know, the Holy Spirit. He's been imparted to us to help us. The Holy Spirit that gives us the gifts that unite us as one. In fact, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us together as a community of believers. It is the Holy Spirit, God working in us, that leads us to be able to ask for forgiveness and to forgive others. And that forgiveness starts with asking God for forgiveness first, because all sin is sin against God, and sin is what separates us from God and from one another. On thinking about the need for forgiveness, that is, the impact of sin on our relationships with God and one another, just as we spoke about on Good Friday, it's helpful to recall from Genesis that in the beginning, God created us to be in relationships, to be in a relationship with him and with one another and with all his creation. When sin came into the world, it separated us from God. Sin separates God from the world and us from one another. Forgiveness, our asking God for it and forgiving one another, is vital to our being one community. As Jesus in the gospel expressed, if we hold on to sin that separates, then separation continues. If we let go of sin, that is forgive, unity will develop. we will be in fellowship with God and one another. In his incarnation, his ministry on earth, his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus has taken away the sins of the world. He has taken away what separates us from God and one another, and he replaced it with communion. Communion, when we come together as a community of believers, as one in sharing his body and blood at this table. It is through our communion with God that he makes it possible for us to forgive one another and to come into unity as one with one another. It's a full circle. We ask God to forgive us our sins, and we forgive one another so we can come and take part in communion, which renews us with God's body and blood and his Holy Spirit, making it possible for us to ask for forgiveness and then to extend that forgiveness to others. And so it goes on and on. It is through the power of the resurrection that we have freedom to overcome what separates us and to bring unity among us as a community and as a community with God. As I mentioned from the start, building a community, a family of believers through forgiveness and forgiving is what we hear Jesus doing in the gospel as he appears to the disciples so they can believe and then sending them out. It is what we hear in the book of Acts as we follow the disciples on their path. And it is what Jesus is doing with us, sending us out to share our Jesus story, to bring the lost back to God. We forgive, we are forgiven when we lay our sins at Jesus' feet. And then we are able to extend that forgiveness to others, building a community of believers in the love of God. When we gather and invite others to gather with us, to gather as a community in fellowship with one another and with God, receiving forgiveness and forgiving, we find Jesus among us. And spiritual life flows through him, his open wounds, as we receive his body and blood at our community table. Amen.